In confusion and uncertainty, there emerges a guiding light, a beacon that cuts through the darkness. Welcome to Beacon of Truth with your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Beacon of Truth. I am your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, and you're listening on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. It is fantastic to be here with you. I'm still on the speaking tour in Texas with the Australian speakers on our Speak, Lord, Your Servant is Listening 2025 tour, United States tour. And this year we decided to focus, this is the third year of our tour. We did the West Coast and Midwest first year, East Coast last year, and just the state of Texas this year. And we've been all last week. We've been on tour for about 9 days so far. We got a few more dates coming up. Tonight, we are at St. Helens Catholic Church in Pearland, Texas. So join us tonight. Mass is at 6 if you haven't gone to Mass today. It's from 6 to 7, and the talks are from 7 to 9 p.m. Again, that's at St. Helens Catholic Church in Pearland, Texas. Would love to have you join us tonight, especially members of the EWTN family and EWTN, of which includes EWTN Radio and the listeners of this show as well. I talk about being on tour, but it's just like a musician. You know, we got up this morning, we loaded up the car, went to breakfast actually with Paul J. Kim, who's a great speaker, and which we had a lot of fun, and we also met this morning as well. She joined us a little bit later, Noelle Marin, who's been on EWTN before as well. And so we had a great breakfast, kind of a great catch up. And then we drove 3 hours here from Austin to Pearland. And then we did a load in, you know, and tonight we'll do a sound check and all that. So it's very much like a music, the musicians on tour. And we're having a great time. So far, the events have gone very, very well. No, yesterday I preached at Mass, and I was grateful to Father for allowing me to do that. But part of it is I preached on hell, you know, and I think I made Father a little nervous as I preached. You know, someone said you preached on hell like you were born there. I thought that was pretty funny. But the thing is, you know, it was a strong homily, but there was a strong message from Jesus, you know, about Lazarus and the rich man. And, you know, the decisions and how we live in this life have eternal repercussions. So I didn't shy away from that. But the thing was, I stood in the back of the church and for about 40 minutes just greeting people about the homily and including a 10-year-old. And his family as well. And, you know, and that just reaffirms for me that people want to hear truth, you know, the truth in love, right? Ephesians 4:15, the truth in love, but it has to be the truth. And Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And so I wish they had, you know, they live streamed it, but it wasn't, they're not archiving live streams anymore, so I don't have a chance to put it up on my social media. But I had a wonderful time yesterday, so I want to thank Father for allowing me to give the homily yesterday at Mass in Buda. Again, tonight, St. Helens Catholic Church in Pearland, Texas. Tomorrow, we're going to be at St. Francis of Assisi in Orange, Texas. Tomorrow night from 6 to 8. So if you can't join us in Pearland, maybe you can, or if you're in the Orange, Texas area, join us tomorrow in St. Francis of Assisi in Orange. One of the reasons I love doing this show and are the people who bring you behind the scenes. And I wish they were on tour with me, but sadly they're not. Who am I talking about? Matt Kabinsky screening your calls today, along with Michael McCall and Pedro Quiles doing social media. And where would we be without our producer, Ace McKay? Ace! I was thinking about you yesterday.
Yeah.
You know why? No, I actually got a chance to play yesterday.
Oh, no way. Tell me.
So after Mass, some very good friends of mine, Alfredo and Susan Nevades, had a brunch at the house with a select group of parishioners, and you know, I got a chance to spend one-on-one time with the Australian speakers and myself, and mm-hmm. we had a wonderful, wonderful brunch. And then Susan's a professional musician, and she plays the accordion, not the one with the keys, but the one with just the buttons on it. You know that,
sure.
that one.
Yeah.
And so she was playing, and then someone said, "Deacon, why don't you get up there and play with her?" You guys, okay. So she brought out her guitar. She also mm-hmm. plays guitar.
Yeah.
She brought out the guitar, and I of course I carry picks all the time with me, and so. Although the gauge on, you know, there was an acoustic guitar, so the gauge was heavy. I was like, yeah. Man, what kind of strings you got? And the action was a little bit higher than I'd like, but it was okay. So we just jammed the blues, 1-4-5 blues, 1-6-5 turnaround in A, and just played. And then she took a couple seconds. She goes, "Deacon, take it." I was like, "Oh, man." So I tried to play, but it's hard to bend those strings, but it's so heavy
yeah.
on an acoustic guitar. But I did my best, you know, and it was a lot of fun.
That's awesome. Yeah, we actually had a pretty amazing moment Saturday night after the kids had been at rehearsal all day. My son, who's been teaching himself acoustic guitar, he and his sister had, well, actually Mia has more memory of this than he does when he was a baby because he doesn't remember the song as a baby, but Mia was a toddler with a song that my wife used to sing and play in the car with them when they were little. And it's from an album from a group that's no longer together, just a duo called Civil War. And they actually won a Grammy, I think, in 2011 or whenever it was. But long story short, he had learned this song. It's kind of like a spiritual. And he was in his room singing it. And Tony's like, "He's singing that song that, you know, he's learning it." So then she applauds him for it. Then he comes out and they, because my wife has the amazing voice, they start singing it in harmony and back and forth on it. Then my daughter down the hall screams, "You're singing it wrong." So then I'm like, "Get out of here then." So they all, we have like a little sectional that's kind of an L-shaped in the living room. Mm-hmm. And so they're all decked out, and I'm just sitting in my chair, just like the free concert going on as they're, you know, working out the parts on this song. And my son, and it's only like three chords. So, I mean, he's just hitting it. And I'm watching him, and I'm listening, and it just, it's that moment, I think, as a musician parent that you're like, "Oh, look at them. They're thriving. They're creating." It just, it was just such a cool, and the whole time they didn't know this, but I was recording them on my
no
phone.
No way!
And so I have
awesome
it, and I text it to my wife when she was done. I said, "The kids won't let you play this out loud, but you can listen to it in the privacy of your own, you know, time." And so she's like, "At some point I would love, you know, when you're in the studio, if we just all came and we just knocked this song out and like just as like a family memory." I'm like, "Absolutely."
Yeah. You know?
So it was great.
That would be so cool. I mean, imagine playing something like that for your grandkids and, you know, especially with your daughter getting married and hopefully you'll be a grandpa soon. And just playing something like that is just an awesome family memory. That is great.
Well, and it's also cool for me from the standpoint my son is seeking out things he wants to learn. And, you know, and oftentimes when it's just he and I in the car, you know, whatever's going on, if we're going to a movie or something, we'll have those same conversations about faith where I'm like, if there's something that you're just curious about and maybe you're embarrassed to ask about it or you're just curious enough to want to know, like, it's okay for you to seek those things out. There's Bible apps and there's, you know, things that you can check out. And then if you have additional questions, Mom and I are here for you so that you're not trying to navigate some of these things about your faith or in finding peace and the decisions that you need to make in your life. Like, that's what we're here for. We're here to guide you through this so that when we're not around, you're knowing the voice of God. You're understanding all of the elements just like you do with music and theory and all of that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And again, music serves as a wonderful bridge to facilitate that those kinds of discussions, you know. So, God, that's awesome, man. I love that.
So, yeah, so I told him, I said, what's next is now you owe me a jam session in the basement because at some point I want, because, you know, I have full studio downstairs. So I'm like, all these instruments that you come down and play on when I'm not at home, like, I want to jam too. Don't just sing with Mom. Like, I want to get the fruits of your hard labors, you know?
Yeah, there you go. Oh, that's so great. Yeah, I mean, we're a musical family too, but, you know, we only have the twin because it's adults, so it's a little bit different now.
Sure.
You know, they're not, even when I'm home, I hardly see them, you know, between work and school and friends.
Yeah.
You know, they got their own thing going on. But that'd be a wonderful. I'd love maybe at Thanksgiving. I think Angela's coming home at Thanksgiving or Christmas. Maybe sing something, just record on my iPhone, you know, and just us harmonizing to something or something like that. And the other thing musically yesterday was the Cotty shot. So so the Maronites, Charbel and Dr. Robert Haddad and myself harmonized three-part harmony on the Cotty shot, which is in the Maronite rite. It's like it's a beautiful Cotty shot, Allahu, Cotty shot, Haliotono. And we just, oh, it was awesome, man. It was a musical day yesterday for
sure. I love it. I'm glad you had that.
Yeah. All right, today's topic, we're continuing our reflections on the mysteries of the Rosary called Our Life in Christ. And today we're doing the fourth luminous mystery, the Transfiguration. We'd love to hear from you. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Oh, yeah.
Put on our Devo pots on our head.
Yeah. Yeah, kind of like, what else does it sound like? Go-Go's or who else? What was I thinking of? Oh, I can't remember that. You're getting old. That's what happens, man.
I know. Well, and when you have all this musical knowledge in your brain, it's like it just shifts around, right?
Yeah, exactly.
That's the thing I hate is when I know something, and then I can't. I'm like, oh, you know.
It's
and
right then, there.
Yeah,
it's
and
right
like,
there.
Just Google it. I'm like, no. I was like, I have to relinquish my musician card if I cannot recall this artist or this song. Like, don't make me go there.
That's funny. All right. I'm Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers, listening to Beacon of Truth. And today we're continuing our series of reflections on the mysteries of the Most Holy Rosary. Today we're continuing our look at the luminous mysteries or the mysteries of light, where these are theophanies or manifestations of God. And today we're looking at the fourth luminous mystery, the Transfiguration. We'd love to hear from you. How has God transfigured your life? You know, like Peter, James, and John. Jesus brings up to Mount Tabor, they're there, and all of a sudden Jesus is transfigured before them. There's Moses and Elijah representing the law and the prophets. I mean, how did God come into your life? How was your life transfigured once you encountered Christ like Peter, James, and John did? Would love to hear from you today. Give us a call, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986.
Well, don't forget, we got free ebooks available for you while you're online today. Might even already be at EWTN.com. Go to /annunciation to find out more on the novenas to the Blessed Virgin Mary. And you can, of course, find out how to get your free ebook today.
All right, my friends, it's now time for the Soulful Psalms segment of Beacon of Truth. The Soulful Psalms, we take one of the Psalms from the wisdom literature of the Old Testament that we hear in every holy sacrifice of the Mass, including today, which is, by the way, the feast day of the archangels Michael, Gabriel, and Raphael. And we connect that Psalm to your everyday lived experience. Well, today we're continuing our look at Psalm 85, which is in book 3 of the Psalms, Psalm 73-89. Psalm 73-83 are by Asaph. 84, 85, today's Psalm, 87 and 88 are sons of Korah. 86 is written by David. 88 and 89 are by the also by the Ezraites. So you have 88 along with the sons of Korah. You have Haman, which means faithful in Hebrew. And then you have Etan or Ethan or Nathan, which means firm, lasting, solid, and permanent. And so we're taking a look at Psalm 85. This one simply says, Lemenzeach, Livni Korah, Mizmur. For the choir master of the sons of Korah, a psalm. So just like a typical prescript or superscript, it says who wrote the psalm, which is the Sons of Korah. They gave it to the choir master, one of the other superintendents of the musical guild of the Jewish temple, to put music to. And so that's what they did for this Psalm 85. So today we're taking a look at verses 10, starting at verse 10. So if you have your Bibles, open up to Psalm 85. We're going to, let's just look at how this psalm started. So it gives the context. O Lord, you have favored your land and brought back the captives of Jacob. So again, so this is post, probably most likely the Babylonian exile, but by the time this psalm was written, so it's King Nebuchadnezzar captures the Israel people, takes them into slavery for 70 years. Then the Lord, King Cyrus comes in, overthrows the Babylonians and releases the Israelites to come back to their land. So this is written sometime during that period. All right. And so let's jump in at Psalm 10. Verse 10, Psalm 85. His salvation is near for those who fear him. Right. So I was doing a little bit more digging on this fear of the Lord, right? So it's Yahweh, and it's two meanings depending on the context. But I think in this case, it's probably a dual context. So because the Hebrew language is so rich and so deep. His salvation, so God's salvation, God's saving power, God's saving justice is near for those who fear him. Yahweh, honor, reverence and respect, but there's also tinged with a little bit of filial fear, right? So it's the fear, like if your parents say, "Hey, son, come here," and you think, "Oh, it could be good, it could be bad," and you get a little nervous, like, "Oh, what kind of fear is this? Is it filial fear?" That kind of thing. So it's not being afraid of your parents, but it's more like that fear of disappointing them, or fear that they may have found out about something that you did and you got caught, that kind of thing. But in this context, it doesn't have the meaning of, oh, I have to be afraid, like visceral fear, like a horror movie, that kind of thing. His salvation is near for those who fear him, give him honor, reverence, and respect, and his glory will dwell in the land. I love that verse. Why? Because look at how the glory of the Lord has dwelt with his people. In fact, we're talking about our life in Christ, our reflections on the mystery of the rosary. Today, we're looking at the transfiguration, one of the theophanies or manifestations of God, where we see the glory of God in the transfiguration of Jesus Christ. So if we look how God manifested himself, the glory of the Lord throughout creation, we see in Exodus, for example. I'm not going to go through all of them, but just a couple of examples. Fire of cloud by night, pillar of cloud by day, right? Leading the people through the desert. He tabernacled with them in the Ark of the Covenant, and the word there's Mishkan, which means to an indwelling or tabernacle. Actually, in Greek, where it says the word in John 1:14, where it says the word became flesh and dwelt among us, it's actually the word became flesh and tabernacled among us. Right. So the Greek word there is actually literally tabernacle, or in Hebrew in the Old Testament is Mishkan, which means the tabernacle to dwell with. So God dwelt with his people, and he still dwells with us today. In the most blessed sacrament of the Eucharist, body, blood, soul, divinity, whether in the holy sacrifice of the Mass or in the tabernacle or in Eucharistic adoration, the monstrance, he still dwells, tabernacles among his people even to this day. Beautiful. Verse 11, merciful love and faithfulness have met. All right, so I love this now. So it talks about salvation. For those who honor, reverence, and respect the Lord, and his glory presence dwells in our land and dwells in our hearts, right? Because we are the new temples, right? 1 John 6:19 says our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit that we have within us from God. So glorify God with your body. So God dwells in us in the Holy Spirit, in baptism, strengthened by confirmation, nourished by the Eucharist, right? So God is still dwelling with his people, both interiorly when we choose to live with God in a state of grace, and also exteriorly In the most blessed sacrament, the Eucharist, and in other ways as well, but most particularly in the Eucharist. And so merciful love and faithfulness have met, right? So we, in the Lord, in this dwelling with us, we have his merciful love and his faithfulness, because God is always faithful to his covenant promises. Even though we might fail, God's love never fails. There will never be a time where God ever stops loving you, ever. You know, that's really important to reiterate that God loves us totally, completely, unconditionally, right? And now he may not like the actions that we take when we sin against him. We make offenses against his holy name, you know, but that doesn't stop him from loving us. So merciful love and faithfulness have met, justice and peace have kissed, or embraced in Hebrew, right? Justice and peace have kissed. So merciful love, faithfulness, justice, peace, all characteristics of what God is trying to give us through salvation, and how he, and when we choose to dwell with him, we choose to cooperate with the power of the grace of the sacraments that's indwelling in, within us. When we go before him in Eucharistic adoration, when we engage our hearts deeply in the holy sacrifice of the Mass, we enter into that love, into that faithfulness, into that justice, and into that peace, into him, into the embrace, really. It's the open arms. We run into the arms of our Heavenly Father. He embraces us and he squeezes us. You know, I loved when I was little and I would run to my mom and she would just squeeze me. I just loved how that felt. You know, being hugged, like I just knew that she loved me, you know, and God does the same thing. You know, he embraces us with his love and his mercy and his peace and his truth. That's why I have to let go of all the anger, all the hatred, all the animosity, all those things that are in our hearts. We have to empty ourselves of that so that God can fill us with his love and his life.
Yeah, I love the image that God really placed in my heart. This was when my oldest, who's now almost 25, she was probably just old enough to start walking, and she had picked up, you know, a little bit of a pace. And the way she ran, you know, as I'm sure your children did the same, they all do, you know, daddy, and they just come running, right? And they just, you know, and they, all they know is that you got them, right? You're going to catch them and scoop them up and dance around with them. And I remember in that moment when she was, the first time she ever just ran to me like that, God's like, that's how you're supposed to come to me.
Yeah.
And it like, it burned that image on my brain. And so I'm like, all right, I'm running to God, right? It's like, let's just go. Because again, he longs to be able to just squeeze us and pick us up and take care of us in the midst of that. But a lot of times we just don't know how to get to him. We don't think we're worthy of his love, and it holds us back.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what's so powerful about the prodigal son parable that Jesus told in Luke's gospel. Mm-hmm. You know, even though he was a long way off, the father caught sight of him. That means he never stopped looking for his son. He never stopped waiting for his son to make the free will decision to come back home, to come back to him. And so many times we get mired in that pig pen. We get mired in the mud. We get mired in the sloppiness of our life. And we think, I'm stuck here. Mm-hmm. There's no way. But it's in that moment of the deepest darkness that you realize the only person who can help me right now is God. Amen. And that's when he finds the courage to turn back. And that's also a great clue and indicator for us as well.
Amen.
Yeah, love that. Faithfulness is just, okay. It says, also the Lord will bestow his bounty, and our earth shall yield its increase. You know, so when we enter into that space, into God's heart space with his love and his faithfulness and justice and peace, God will bestow his blessings upon us, right? And then we'll grow even more deeply in love with him. All right, love that. All right, we're continuing our series of reflections on the mysteries of the Rosary, our life in Christ. Today, we're looking at the fourth luminous mystery, the Transfiguration. Would love for you to join us. 833-288 EWTN, 833-288-3986.
Just when you think rock needed a little groove, You found one.
There you go. That is so awesome. Yeah. Got that contemporary jazz feel again.
Yeah,
I love that. Kind of Hiram Bullocky kind of stuff, you know?
Yeah.
And for those of you who don't know who Hiram Bullock was, God rest his soul, he died of cancer. He was the guitar player in David Letterman's band for a long time before the other guy came in. But I think originally when Letterman was airing, Hiram Bullock, I know for sure, was the guitar player in that band. But,
who's the guy that you always talk about from Extreme, the guitarist that you always talk about?
Nuno Bettencourt.
Yeah, he recently recorded some songs with Julian Lennon, and they're like supposed to be released this month, later this month. I saw some clips of it.
How about that?
Sounds really cool, too. Like, it's just kind of a fusion of all the different sounds and influences of both of them, and I'm looking forward to what that project looks like, sounds like.
Oh, man, that sounds like a lot of fun. Oh, how awesome
is that?
So I'll
keep
you posted. I'll have to listen out for that for sure. Yep. I'm Deacon Harold Burke. Everybody's listening to Beacon of Truth, and today we're continuing our reflections on the Mysteries of the Rosary, a series called Our Life in Christ. And today we're looking at the fourth luminous mystery, the Transfiguration. And would love to hear from you today. How has God transfigured your life? How has God entered into your life, and because of your encounter with him, you have been transfigured? That's what we're talking about today. Would love to hear from you. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986.
Of course, we want to say big congratulations today as our friends in Canton, Texas. They're now double digits, celebrating 10 years. Ken and the team there at St. Therese Catholic Church, from all of your friends here at EWTN Radio, congratulations to KDMI 97.5 FM. Thanks for your support to everyone in Canton, Texas, and all of us, of course. Again, congratulations from EWTN Radio.
All right. We're continuing our series of reflections on the Rosary called Our Life in Christ. And today we're looking at the fourth luminous mystery, the Transfiguration. And would love to hear from you. How has Christ transfigured your life? Peter, James, and John went up to the mountain with Jesus. You know, kind of actually didn't even know what to expect, you know. But always when he has those three by themselves, you know, God does something amazing. The three of them were with Jesus when he raised a 12-year-old girl from the dead. They were with him in the Garden of Gethsemane, you know, toward the end of Jesus' life. And they were with him here on Mount Tabor during the Transfiguration. And Jesus was transfigured before them. And I'm sure they were stupefied, right? Peter was like, let's build three tents. I mean, he didn't even know what he was saying, you know. But their life, you know, and he came down and Jesus said, don't say anything about this until after I've risen from the dead. So but what we want to hear from you, how has God entered into your life? Maybe at a time that you least expected it, that you were just going on, we thought all of a sudden, bam, God just hit you, you know. Would love to hear from you. How has God transfigured your life? As we continue to reflect on this fourth luminous mystery, the Transfiguration, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Just a quick reminder. Tonight, I'm going to be at St. Helen Catholic Church in Parlin, Texas. Tonight with the speakers that are on tour with me from Australia. And this is our Speak Lord, Your Servant is Listening tour. And the entire tour is taking place in the great state of Texas, the Republic of Texas. We're having an amazing time so far. Grapevine, Fort Worth, Lockhart, Kerrville, San Antonio, Buda, Pearland, and tomorrow in Orange, Texas. Then we head back up to the Dallas-Fort Worth area. So again, if you're around tonight, 7 to 9, Mass is at 6 o'clock. If you're not already attended Mass, remember today's the Feast of the Archangels, Michael, Gabriel, and Raphael. And then after that, we're going to be speaking from 7 until 9 p.m. Again, St. Helens Catholic Church in Parlin, Texas. All right. So just a quick thing about the Archangels, Michael, Gabriel, and Raphael. So all those names mean something. Every name in the Bible means something. So the L, after the end of their names, Michael, Gabriel, Raphael, is short for Elohim, which is one of the spoken names of God. And then Michael, who is like God. Gabriel, the strength of God. Raphael means the remedy of God. Just a little fun facts about the archangels there. And there's 9 level of angels, and the archangels are kind of in the middle to lower group there, interestingly enough. But yet they overpowered Satan, who was probably a cherubim or a seraphim. Lucifer, before he would, and of course they battled with him and he cast him out, exorcizo, cast him out to earth, and he's still here. All right, we're talking about the transfiguration. How has God come into your life and transfigured you? Would love to hear from you today. Give us a call, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Karen is calling from Michigan, listening on Sirius XM 130. Karen, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
You mentioned about how God, lets you know how God transformed my life. Through all my trials, tons of trials, tribulations, God has taught me how to persevere and trust. I grew up not being able to trust at all. So he's taught me how to do that, and it's
Okay, yeah, Karen, you're kind of cutting in and out. Can you tell us a little bit about how God did that for you? That's awesome.
How what?
How God, you talk about, God taught you about perseverance and trust. How mm-hmm. did he do that? That's awesome.
Well, through all my trials, okay, I had acute anxiety attack really bad. I had to really trust him. Yeah. You know, I leaned on him and if anybody's ever had anxiety attacks, no, it's very hard to trust.
Yeah, yeah.
But he never let me down. He was always there, and he led me through it, out of it. And I can't say any much more than...
Yeah.
And just to keep persevering toward him, he taught me how to trust him.
Yes. Thanks. That is awesome. Well, and it's that fortitude, right? That we talk about the cardinal virtues, prudence, justice, temperance, and fortitude. And that fortitude for you to stand up, when people, gave up on you or but you're able to trust and persevere in the Lord. And that is a powerful witness, because that's what we need to do. We need to put our no one on this earth. They may be able to make us feel better, but they won't really get to the heart of the really what's going on within us, because God created us. God knows us better than we know ourselves, so I love that. So great call. Thank you so much, Karen. We're talking about the transfiguration today as we continue our reflections on the mysteries of the Most Holy Rosary, called Our Life in Christ. And today we're looking at the fourth luminous mystery, the transfiguration. And, as we meditate on this mystery of the Rosary, we'd love to hear how God has transfigured you. How God, maybe you were just living your life, going along, all of a sudden, bam, God just came in and just completely transfigured your life. Would love to hear from you today. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Christina is calling from Clanton, Alabama, listening on the EWTN app. Christina, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Hello, hello.
That's great to hear from you.
Well, thank you. So speaking on transfiguration, I've just got a cool little story. I grew up in a small little town on the island of Kauai. That's in Hawaii. I think our population was probably 4,000 back in the 80s. My mother never knew her father. Fast forward, 25 years, I married a man from a very small town, Clanton, Alabama, about 2,500 miles away from my home. We had been married, I'd say maybe 8 years or so. And one Christmas, I was a little depressed. I was sad. I was missing my family. And, you know, I spoke about it with my husband. He asked if I wanted to move back, and I said, no, this is where my children are. This is our home now. Fast forward a couple of weeks, my mother calls me and tells me that she had been speaking with her father, getting to know him. And she was in the process of flying out to see him. Unfortunately, he had passed 2 weeks before she was going to go and see him. She called and during our conversation asked me if I could fly out with her to attend his funeral. And I said, of course. So we headed to Reno, Nevada. And as I was approaching the steps to the church, they had a memory board of his life. And I noticed a peach water tower, which is important for our small town. We're known for our peaches. And long story short, I realized my grandfather was born and raised in the same town that I was currently living in, that I had aunts and uncles just right down the road from me, that I had great-great-great-great-grandfather buried 20 miles away. So that was just a powerful moment for me.
Whoa, that is awesome. Wow. Man, see how God works? That is absolutely awesome. And here you are thinking you're alone, missing home, and you got family all around you, you know? And, you know, this reminds me of Jesus when he says, you know, unless the seed falls and dies, it does not bear fruit. So, yes, I mean, you know, the death of your, I guess it'd be your grandfather, right? You were going to go with your mom to the funeral, but that death, which all of us have to go through, but that led to you to new life in your own life, the rediscovery of your family that are all around you. Oh, what a beautiful, beautiful testimony. Oh, Christina, thank you so much for that. See, this is the transfiguration. See, this is why we do these reflections on the rosary. It brings out so many beautiful stories and encounters with the living God. I love that. All right, we're talking about the transfiguration. We're continuing our series of reflections on the Most Holy Rosary. Today, we're looking at the fourth luminous mystery, the transfiguration. Would love to hear how God has transfigured your life. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Miles in Boise, Idaho called, but he couldn't stay on the line. But he wanted us to know, he says, my life was transfigured when I encountered Christ. I was very much involved in the LGBTQ lifestyle, but he changed my life. I love that. You know, so often we hear that lifestyle choice decision is something that's you're born with, that's innate, you know, and we allow those things to define us, and they don't. And so Miles is living proof of that. And if you watch Lila Rose's video series on this, also shows that as well. Awesome. Adele is calling from Fargo, North Dakota, listening on Real Presence Radio. Great station. Adele, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Thank you. I just wanted to say in 1988, I took a pilgrimage, and Medjugorje was also included in that. And I never believed in the real presence, but after that trip, I did, and I still do, of course, and that changes everything.
Wow.
The real presence in the Eucharist.
Oh, that is so, yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, I love adoration. Even since I was little, I loved adoration. I remember being 9 and 10 years old, going to Mass with my mom, and looking up at the altar. This is right before I started serving Mass, and just wanting to be up there. Because I knew if I was there, I'd be close to God. And still at 9 or 10, not really, I obviously haven't received my first, I have already received my first communion by then. But still not really having an appreciation for the power of God's presence in that most blessed sacrament. You know, and so to discover that, especially on pilgrimage, you know, we're staying close to the Blessed Mother. Why? She's the mother of the Eucharist. She's the mother of Christ, and Christ gives himself to us, body, blood, soul, divinity, that most blessed sacrament. You know, so if we stay close to Mary, we're also very, very close to Jesus. Beautiful call, Adele. Thank you so much for sharing. We're talking about the Transfiguration as we continue our series of reflections on the mysteries of the Most Holy Rosary. Today we're looking at the fourth luminous mystery, the mysteries of light. These show the theophanies or manifestations of God. 833-288-EWTN. How has God transfigured your life? 833-288-3986. Jennifer is calling from Houston, Texas. I'm right next door in Pearland, listening on Guadalupe Radio. Jennifer, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Hi, Deacon. Well, actually, me and my family will actually be there tonight at Pearland to watch your friends talk.
Oh, please make sure you come up and say hi.
Yes, I will. Thank you. We're all very much looking forward to it. But the way that the rosary changed me and my family, my husband and I made a conscious effort before COVID even it happened. But we made a conscious effort to bring our family closer to God. We are cradle Catholics, but we just felt like we were never close to God the way that we should be. And so we decided, especially after COVID happened, that we wanted to have a daily rosary with the entire family. And so we made sure that we made that time for us to do that. And we just felt this immense difference since then within our family and within our children and within our own marriage. Like, you know, it's just so amazing the power that God has, and especially our Blessed Mother, and bringing us all together and just seeing the love of Christ in each other. And I think that's what's transformed us. And what we love the most is just seeing our children enjoy, you know, seeing our Lord in the Eucharist at adoration, and our children making the conscious effort to continue praying on their own without as a family unit, but they continue to pray by themselves and study their Bible. And we just love seeing that transformation in them and in us as well.
Oh, that's beautiful. And it is exactly why we're doing this series called Our Life in Christ. You know, I started this series after coming back from pilgrimage with Father John Paul in Portugal, Spain, and France. And we prayed the rosary every day, mostly on the bus, going between holy sites. And, you know, one of the people, you know, just came up to me and said they struggled with the rosary. You know, and I get that. You know, I totally do. So I said, you know, and I was thinking about the show. I said, why don't we do a mini series where we do reflections on each of the mysteries of the rosary. And, you know, whenever we do these rosary reflection shows, we get the calls that come in. Not only are the phone lines full, but the calls of people's testimonies and stories. And today, it's a great witness of how powerful the encounter with Christ can be because of the rosary, because of the Blessed Mother. Because we open our hearts to receive everything that God wants to give us in His Holy Spirit. And Jennifer, another beautiful testimony and witness to that, to the power of the rosary. So I would encourage everybody out there, and if you struggle with the rosary, maybe the scriptural rosary, or go back and listen to these shows that are archived through the EWTN app, EWTN Podcast Central, you know, and listen to show. Again, the series called Our Life in Christ. We already looked at the joyful mysteries. Now we look at the luminous mysteries, and we move to the sorrowful mysteries, and then we'll finish up with the glorious mysteries of the rosary. But the rosary, if you give it a chance, meditating on the deepest mysteries of our faith through the heart of the Blessed Mother can truly be transformative. Love that. Great call. And we want to hear from you today. We're talking about the Transfiguration, the fourth luminous mystery, is part of our series, Our Life in Christ. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Craig is calling from South Dakota, listening on Sirius XM 130. Craig, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Hello, Deacon. Say, I had a thought this morning about the transfiguration and resurrection. You know, Jesus, was Jesus giving the apostles a glimpse of his resurrected body before the before his crucifixion, you know? So I was wondering, have you ever thought about that, or would you like to comment?
Yeah, so so Christ has done a number of things to show that he is God, right? That's what we talk about, these theophanies, this manifestation of God's power in a particular form or in a particular way. And so, yeah, he, you know, raising people from the dead, you know, walking on water, coming out of the waters of the Jordan at baptism, where you have the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove, the voice of the Father speaking, you know, the Eucharist, the holy sacrifice of the Mass, you know, turning water into wine, you know, at the wedding feast of Cana. So, yeah, so Jesus was trying to show those apostles. But see, even interesting, Craig, even after that, they still, except for John, they still abandoned him. You know, they all ran, including John, ran in the Garden of Gethsemane when he got arrested. But only John was able to be, had the fortitude, the strength to be with him at the foot of the cross with Mary and the other Marys as well. So, yeah, so even though God manifested and shows himself to us, you know, it still took a while for all of that to sink in and make those connections with what he was doing.
So was that his same body, you know, the body at the transfiguration and the body at the resurrection when he was showing himself?
No, I don't think it was the same body. Why? Because Jesus had the wound marks. Remember, because when he was resurrected from the dead, he still had all five wounds in his body. Right, he still had the nail marks. He resurrected with the nail marks. Remember, because he in John chapter 20, he was in the upper room. Thomas wasn't there the first time. The second time Jesus came, Thomas put his hands in the nail marks in his side. Jesus said, "Doubt no longer, but believe." But and he said, "My Lord and my God." But at the transfiguration on Mount Tabor, there's no indication that Jesus had the wound mark. So it's probably just a theophany, a manifestation of Jesus as God, you know, appearing with Moses and Elijah. But there's no indication that that was his actual resurrected body. That makes sense? Well, thank you, Craig, for that great call. We're talking about the transfiguration today. How has God transfigured your life as we continue our reflections on the mysteries of the rosary? Today, we're looking at the fourth luminous mystery, the transfiguration, 833-288-EWTN. Dr. Edith is calling from Tallahassee, Florida, listening on Guadalupe Radio. Dr. Edith, welcome to Beacon of Truth. Dr. Edith, are you there? All right, let's go to Dominic in Central Ohio, listening on St. Gabriel Radio. Dominic, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Hello, Deacon.
Hey, great to hear from you.
Yeah, I just wanted to share a little testimony about the power of the Rosary and Our Lady. Revelation 19:10 says, testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So just going to try to keep it as brief as I can, but last summer, home from college and was really struggling in prayer, trying my best to like stay faithful and pray every day, and did my best, but wasn't really experiencing much fruit from it. Tried to pray the rosary every day. Towards the end of the summer, my mom woke me up in the morning and said, that my grandfather had passed away and they were going to check in on my grandma. So they just said, just pray. So got up, grabbed my rosary, and that was probably one of the toughest rosaries I ever prayed. I said, Our Lady, if you want to help out my grandpa, it's like, I trust you, but if these graces will help someone else, I trust you. Prayed the rosary, finished it around 4:35 in the morning, and then I get a text from my mom at 4:37. That the EMTs were able to resuscitate him and took him to the hospital. So I was able to say a final goodbye to him, which was really powerful. And then the rest of the week, really crazy. Family got in a car accident. They were miraculously okay. And then at the end of the week, my my earthly mom experienced a heart attack, and I was really scared about that. But when they went in to go do a stent after she had received anointing of the sick, they found no damage whatsoever.
Wow, praise God. What an awesome testimony. Man, what a great show today. Tomorrow, we're going to be talking about the sin of pride. And remember, you can stream today's show by visiting podcastcentralewtn.com/radio. And until we're together again, may Almighty God bless you, keep you, and protect you. The Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.